My wife is a big Celine Dion fan. She's got all the CDs. She loves to listen to Celine. We have to watch Titanic 3 times a week just to hear the music. Well, last year about this time, by the way, tomorrow is our 24th anniversary. That's applause out of amazement for you putting up with me all the time. I don't even have to look to know that was Frankie. For our anniversary last year, I took Lisa to a Celine Dion concert. And we got to see her live and hear all that same stuff we'd heard on the CDs. But we got to see her sing it. And while we were there, she told us all about her son and all about her husband and all about her personal life. And we know everything about Celine. It started, you know, we just listened to CDs once in a while. And then we got interested in the Titanic movie, and we bought all the CDs and we listened. Then we went to the expense to go to the concert. And then she told us more and more about herself. So over time, we're learning more and more about Celine. So we know a lot about Celine. But we don't know Celine. You see, for that to happen, we'd have to have somebody introduce us. We'd have to have some means by which we could actually meet her. The reason I bring that up is because there are a whole lot of folks around us every day who know about God. They know about Jesus. By living in the United States of America, they hear about it enough. By being in your circle of influence, they hear about it, they know. They may even believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sin. They may believe that Jesus was who he said he was. But a lot of people know about Jesus without knowing Jesus. There's a big difference. Andrew was the first disciple picked by Jesus. He was the first disciple called. He was also the first person to bring someone else to meet Jesus. I want us to think together this morning about Operation Andrew, because I want to encourage us to think like he thought. The reason for that is there are a lot of folks who know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. You and I can learn from Andrew, follow his example, and we can begin to introduce people to Jesus. Not just tell them the information, but what we want to do is actually bring them to an opportunity where they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, real Christianity, what we call salvation, the thing that really matters, goes way beyond theology, way beyond head knowledge and understanding stuff. The real thing is about a personal relationship with Christ based on grace from him and faith from us. That relationship is what changes us, and that relationship is what lasts forever and ensures our eternity. Just the information won't do it. And so we want to begin to find opportunities to actually introduce our friends and family to Jesus so they have a personal relationship with him. Throughout the book of John, we see Andrew introducing people to Jesus. That's kind of who he was. That's basically what he did. The first time we get to know him is in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. I want to encourage you, if you've got your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in John chapter 1 as we begin at verse 35. I want you to see, as we learn from Andrew's example, I want you to see, first of all, that he was willing to follow Christ. Here we go in chapter 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. That is John the Baptist, not John the disciple. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ, if you will. He's the one who kind of introduced Jesus to the people. And that next day in verse 35, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples. You see, before Jesus came, John was teaching people. And there were many folks who were following John so they could learn from him. Two of these people who were following John are the two that he's talking about. Verse 36, he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John had been talking about the Messiah who would come. He had been preparing the people, preparing the way. And now that Jesus came up, John says, "There he is. Behold." In other words, look. Look, the Lamb of God. There he is. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. One of these two in the story was Andrew. Andrew had heard John speak, and so he started to follow him. And John says, "Look, here he comes. Here's Messiah, the Lamb of God." And so immediately, Andrew leaves what he knows to follow Jesus. He leaves his comfortable relationships to follow Jesus. He leaves his comfortable routine to follow Jesus. He changes his entire life in order to follow Jesus. Because, as you know, he was a fisherman. And when called, he dropped his nets and followed Jesus. And so it says, one of these who was following John but now turned to follow Jesus, one of them was Andrew. And then look at verse 42, or 41. Look at verse 41. He first found his brother Simon, that's Peter, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated means Christ. When Andrew found Messiah, when Andrew met Jesus, what was the first thing he did? The first thing he did was go and find somebody close to him and say, "I want you to meet the one I've met. I want you to be changed by Jesus like I have been changed." And just think about all that has happened as God was able to use Andrew first in a private one-on-one conversation relationship, and then that conversation led to Peter coming to Christ, and think of how many thousands of people came to know Christ through Peter's ministry. It really is amazing when you consider that Acts said on one day 3,000 people came to know Jesus because Peter preached. Most of us are not going to have that kind of an influence where you stand up and you say something one time and 3,000 people come to know Jesus. Most of us are not going to be like the Apostle Peter, but all of us are called to be like Andrew. Just one-on-one, everyday conversation, everyday life. We interact with people every day who need to know Jesus. And we can be like Andrew and say, come and find the one that I have found. Meet the one that I have met. Let me introduce you to somebody who can make a great difference in your life. The second thing that we learn from Andrew as we see him in the book of John is that not only was he willing to follow Christ, but he was eager to introduce others to Jesus. Having discovered the truth, he immediately went to share that truth and introduce others to Christ. He reminds me of that little boy that went to Sunday school for the first time. And when he went home that day, his parents said, well, how was Sunday school? He said, oh, it was fine. They said, did you like it? He said, yeah, it was fine. They said, well, who was your teacher? He said, well, I don't know her name, but I think she was Jesus' grandmother. They said, why would you say that she's Jesus' grandmother? He said, because Jesus is the only person she talked about the whole time we were there. It just comes naturally when Jesus really changes you and you really have a dynamic, powerful relationship with him, the natural thing is, I gotta tell somebody that I care about because I don't want them to miss out on what I have found. We wind up talking about him because he's made such a difference in our lives. In the Gospel of John, as I told you, every time we see Andrew, he's introducing someone to Jesus. Every time he appears in the Gospel. Let me show you a few examples. We just looked at John chapter 1, where he introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. So often, the disciples' mission field begins in their own living room. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy to have a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle or a mother or a father or a child who doesn't know Jesus. And right there in your own living room, you're concerned about them. You pray for them. Perhaps you weep for them. And I understand that that is very difficult. Billy Sunday, that great evangelist who preceded Billy Graham. Billy Sunday said one time, the tragedy of my life is that although I've led thousands of people to Jesus Christ, my own sons are not saved. I know that it's difficult, but I also know that the best place to begin is with those we care the most about. The disciples' mission field begins in the living room. Well, he first introduced his brother to Jesus, and then if you turn real quick to the right, find chapter 6. Chapter 6 at verse 6, look at the next time Andrew is mentioned in this gospel. The next time his name comes up, chapter 6, verse 6. The people are hungry. The disciples are hungry. They've been teaching. So Jesus says to Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6 now. This he was saying to test him. For if he himself knew what he was intending to do, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough, not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people? Andrew says, Jesus, here's a little boy. I want to introduce you to this little boy. Little boy, this is Jesus. I don't know what we're going to do about this. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust that Jesus has a plan. And all I know to do is introduce people to him and let him do his thing. Andrew brought the little boy to meet Jesus, and you know what happened. Things took off when Jesus took that bread and that fish and they fed the multitudes and had a great deal left over. We're in chapter 6. Turn with me again, and let's go to chapter 12. Chapter 12 at verse 20. The next time we see Andrew in the Gospel of John. Chapter 12, verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. When it says feast, what he means is Passover. This is the last week of Jesus' life. Jesus is at Jerusalem to be that Passover lamb, if you will. He is there during Passover to die on the cross. This is just a few days before his crucifixion. He has entered. There's been this great big parade, and everybody hollered and screamed and yelled and threw their clothes on the street and waved the branches. Big parade, kind of a party for Jesus as he came in. And now this is just a few days before his crucifixion. There were some people who came from Greece to be a part of Passover. During Passover, people came from all over to do that. Now, the fact that they were Greeks tells us that they were not Jews. They were what we called God-fearers. In other words, they had a respect for Yahweh, but they were not a part of the Israel people. They had not been born into the line of Israel. Therefore, they were not yet a part of God's people. You see, God started, He began a relationship with the people of Israel. Those outside of Israel could fear Him, could worship Him, respect Him, revere Him, but they weren't really a part of His people. And this is who we're talking about, God-fearers who came to worship. Verse 21, then, these therefore came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee. Now, Bethsaida was one of the places that had been what we call Hellenized, where it had been, it had allowed its culture to be changed by the Greek culture. And so what these guys did, they found one of the disciples who had a Greek name. Philip is a Greek name, not necessarily specifically a Jewish name. It's a Greek name. So they found somebody who had a Greek name, who came from a Greek-influenced town. They knew they could talk to him. They had something in common with him. So they come to Philip from Bethsaida of Galilee and began to ask him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Now understand, when they said, "We want to see Jesus," they don't mean we want to see him with their eyes like we saw Celine. No, this is more like Daryl, I need to see you when we're done today. I need to see you. I mean, I need some time with you. I want to talk to you. They're saying, we want to see Jesus. They saw him with their eyes already. That wasn't the point, or they wouldn't have said anything. They're saying, we want a chance to connect with him. We want to talk to him for just a few minutes. They knew that Philip could introduce them. They knew that Philip was a disciple and he could introduce them to Jesus. So they went to Philip and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." I want to ask you a question before we go any farther. Are there people in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, in the place that you hang out, in the things you do every day, are there people in your circle who would know that you could introduce them to Jesus? These guys knew they could go to Philip, and they knew that Philip could introduce them. Do people in your circle of life know that you're someone who could introduce them? Does your life, your language, and your love prove that you belong to Him to the point that they could come and say, "Man, I wish I could see Jesus. Would you introduce me to Him?" Philip came, verse 22. Philip came and told Andrew. You see, he had a problem. Because he had heard Jesus say that Jesus had come for the Jews. He heard it with his own ears. He heard Jesus tell the disciples that one time. He heard Jesus tell what we call the Syrophoenician woman, the woman that he had an interaction with. He told her, "I'm just here for the Jews." So Philip had a problem. These guys who are not Jews are saying, "Introduce us to Jesus." But Philip thinks, "No, Jesus said he's only here for the Jews. These guys aren't Jews. What do I do?" And Philip did what every good Baptist does when there's a problem. He formed a committee. "Andrew, come here. Let's talk about this. Let's work together and find a solution." So he calls Andrew together. Philip came and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip came and they told Jesus. He's always bringing people to Jesus. He perceived, Andrew knew that Jesus would want to know that the Greeks are coming. He would want this interaction. Andrew knew that. And so he came to Jesus and told him what was happening. Andrew has always been involved in bringing people to Jesus, introducing others to Jesus. He brought a Jew and he brought a Gentile. He brought his own brother and he brought a stranger. He brought a grown man and he brought a little boy. He was always ready to introduce others to Jesus. Any others, all others. Andrew was the first home missionary, and he was the first foreign missionary as he brings the Greeks to Jesus. With that in mind, I want to encourage you to think about what we've called Operation Andrew. In your worship folder, you received a little insert. Take that out, if you will, and just look at it real quickly with me. If you look on the color side first, it outlines Operation Andrew. Makes it pretty simple. In John, up there at the top, it quotes John 1. "One of the two which heard Jesus speak, followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith to him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Just the same story we looked at. And based on that example, here is how Operation Andrew works. There's five steps. First, look around. Just start looking around you. Individuals around you, family members, children, co-workers, neighbors, schoolmates, and others. This is your mission field. Wherever you are in life, that is your mission field. Those are the people with whom you can have an influence. Look around. And as you look around, then begin to look up. Because God changes people through prayer. Pray each day for those on your list. What list? Turn the page over. The black and white side. As you start to look around at the people around you, I want to encourage you to think of a few people, specific individuals that you're willing to pray for, that they'll come to know Jesus. There's a list on here that there's a place for 10 names. I'm just going to ask you to start with 3. For the next 2 weeks, I want to encourage you and challenge you to think of 3 people, write their names down, and pray for those 3 people the next 2 weeks. People who don't know Jesus yet, who need to know Him. They're in your circle of influence. They're at your workplace. They're at your school. They're in your neighborhood. Maybe they're in your living room. Find 3 people. Write their names down and start praying for them every day for the next couple of weeks. Now, if you turn back to the color side, we start by looking around and we find those 3 people. Then we look up. We start praying for those people. Then You look out for ways to cultivate friendships or deeper those relationships. You look out for ways to make connections with them. And I'm going to tell you something, that if you're sincerely praying for those opportunities, you're sincerely praying for the salvation of your friend, those opportunities are going to arise. You start looking out for ways that maybe you could invite them to dinner. Maybe you could make a phone call. Maybe you could take a break the same time they take a break at work and sit in the break room and talk. You start looking for opportunities to build those bridges. Look around. Find at least three people. Look up. Start praying for them. Look out for ways that you can connect to them. And then look forward by beginning to talk with each of those people on your list about attending a church service with you. And you can guess what service that would be. August 26, 2 weeks from now, Friend Day. Start looking around. Who's in your area? Who's in your circle of influence? Start looking up, praying for them. Start looking out for ways to connect to them. And then start looking forward to August 26, a chance to bring someone with you to worship here, to hear about Christ. And then step five, look after. Look after them. Whether they come to know Jesus or not, you stay in touch with them, and you love them, and you look after them. I want to encourage you to hang on to that thing. There's a place to sign and date. I'm not going to ask you to turn that into me, because it's really not my business. That's between you and God. But I'm going to ask you to do business with God. Write down three names. Sign that thing and date it. And then carry it in your Bible if you use that regularly, in your pocket if you need to do that. Keep it with you as a reminder of Operation Andrew and what you're being challenged to do. I grew up at First Baptist in Waco. And I will always remember the pulpit at First Waco. I was intrigued by it as a teenager. And as a college student, I actually got to stand behind the pulpit on one or two occasions. The day I was licensed, I had the opportunity to speak to my family congregation. And when I stood behind that pulpit and when I looked at it when I was younger, there was a plaque that sat right on the top. And I'll always remember it said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." It was the quote from the day that the Greeks came to meet Jesus. They said to the disciple, "We want to see Jesus." And that plaque stood there on that pulpit so that every time someone stood up to preach the gospel, they were reminded this is not about the preacher. The people want to meet Jesus. I want to encourage you, in your own way, in your own mind, plant those words somewhere. "Sir or ma'am, we would see Jesus." The people in your world want to know him. They have that opportunity if you introduce them. In the next few minutes we have, I want to very quickly show you how you can show them Jesus. How you can show them Jesus. And it's not as hard as you think. There are five quick and easy ways, quick and easy resources for you to show them Jesus. You can start by showing him as he appears in Scripture. What I mean by that is throughout the Bible, Jesus appears in Scripture. You can introduce your friends and family to him just by showing them how he appears in the Bible. In Genesis, he is Shiloh. In Exodus, he is the eternal God. In Numbers, he is star and scepter. In Deuteronomy, he is Yahweh. In Joshua, he is the captain and the Lord of hosts. In Samuel, he is the fortress. In Job, he is the redeemer. In Psalms, he is the Holy One of Israel. In Isaiah, he is the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, and Emmanuel. In Zechariah, he is the branch. In Haggai, he is the desire of the nations. In Malachi, he is the beloved son. In Matthew, he is the Son of God. In Mark, he's the Son of Man. In Luke, he's the horn of our salvation. In John, he is the true vine. In Romans, he is the deliverer. In Hebrews, he is the high priest. In Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In Revelation, he is Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, King of kings and Lord of lords. Throughout the book, he's there. All we have to do is show the people where to find him. Show them as he appears in Scripture. Show them Christ as he appears in his words. His own words. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and it'll be done. Show them who he is by showing them his own words. You can show him as he is seen in his life. If you look at the life of Jesus, you see him in self-denial, in commitment, in dedication, obedience, service, compassion, humility, sacrifice, love. Show him as he is seen in his own life. Show him as he is seen in his death. He is the sacrifice for our sins. He is the Lamb of God. When John saw him coming that day, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And we understand from Scripture, he was the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. He died in order to pay the penalty of our sin. Just show your friends and family who he was in his death. Show them who he was in his resurrection. He reigns as Lord and will return someday because he defeated death, because he defeated the grave. Show him that he's alive by showing them how he lives in you right now. I want to encourage you to accept the challenge of Operation Andrew. Please, today, before the sun goes down today, write down three names. People in your circle that you're willing to pray for. Please commit the next 2 weeks that you're going to be praying for those folks every day. Look for opportunities to share Christ with them, just to tell them the good news of who he is. And then look for an opportunity to invite them to come on the 26th for Friend Day, where they're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the good news of how Jesus loves them. Let's pray together.